May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder if you were to close your eyes and think for a moment, what would be the journey, the trip that you've taken in your life that sort of sticks out in your mind as sort of the most, maybe the most arduous journey you were ever on, maybe the funnest trip you ever took, maybe the one that took the longest to get there. I don't know what your idea of a long journey would be. For me, immediately what comes to mind is the trip that I took 2 years ago when I traveled over to Kenya to visit our diocese, our Kenyan diocese over at Southern Nyanza. We'll pray for later. Seems appropriate to think about Bishop James and our folks in Kenya, because really this is coming to the end of our time being under Bishop James. He is releasing us to the new province that's forming. And so, but I began to think about that journey, and you know, and James made the same trip, and Tony back there has made the trip before. It's a hard trip. It's a trip for me that began by driving to Jacksonville, and then getting on an airplane, and flying to Atlanta, changing airplanes, flying to Amsterdam, spending way too many hours in the Amsterdam airport, which is not the funnest place to be, followed by a trip from Amsterdam down to Nairobi. You arrive in Nairobi, you have to figure out how to convert money from American dollars into the shekels, and then you take that money and you purchase a ticket on a small Kenyan airline. They purchase old airlines from the West and put them into service, okay? So we're talking about some older airplanes. You get on that airplane, you fly from one side of Kenya to the other side, or at least from the middle to the other side, from Nairobi to a little town called Kisumu. And right, Kisumu? Yes, Kisumu. And if you thought, you thought whatever podunk town in America you're from that had a little airport, well, that's nice compared to Kisumu. I mean, it's like you come in on a landing strip and you expect to see a guy out there kind of waving a flag, you know. But you land there, and then you're about halfway there. No, not quite, but it feels like that. Because then you get in your Land Rover. You don't, two-wheel drive cars don't make it. You got to have a four-wheel drive car. And you ride the most rutty, broken-down road in the world. Victoria's been on this road as well. And you drive and drive and drive and drive, and finally you arrive at Homa Bay, which is where our bishop lives. That is the longest journey I've ever taken in my life. If I fly further than that, then I will be able to say that. But for me right now, that's the longest journey. I don't know what your journey might be. But I think about that journey as I contemplate the narrative we have here, the Luke narrative in chapter 2 of this couple, Mary and Joseph, moving from where they are up in the north, Nazareth, down to about 3 days' journey on foot, down to Bethlehem, which is sort of like a bedroom community of Jerusalem. I think about that trip. I think about how costly that trip, how exhausting that trip, how long that trip was. But for me, now, when I got there, when I got to Kenya, I was received so warmly. Everybody that I met was just ready to meet me and excited about greeting us, and the hospitality just poured out. You know, wherever you were, you had to eat. So you might go someplace and eat 3 meals for lunch, not to mention breakfast and dinner, because everywhere you went, you were treated with hospitality. People, they reached out to you. They welcomed you into their homes. You know, it's interesting to me that God would put a journey in the midst of this narrative. I mean, think about it. The God of the universe, he could have known and planned to have not had his son to be born away from home, right? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Why is it that Jesus is not born in Nazareth? Why Bethlehem? Now, I know there's an Old Testament prophecy that says that, but why in God's great story does this couple have to make this journey? Well, I think journey is really central to what God is trying to say to us on this Christmas Eve, you guys. I think that's why he puts it in the story. Because, you see, I don't think it's just Mary and Joseph that are making this long trip to Bethlehem to go And you know, of course, they're going because they're being taxed. Some things never change, right? They have to travel miles and miles, not even for their own reasons, but for another person's reasons, the governor who wants them to be censored so that he can know how to tax them properly. So they travel this way, but they're not the only ones who've been journeying, who've been traveling. God himself has been on a journey. God himself has been traveling to us since the very beginning of the biblical narrative. Since the very beginning when man and woman chose to walk apart from God and sin entered the world and this brokenness of relationship entered in and all the things that you read about in those early chapters with a brother slaying a brother and people taking up arms against others and all the things that we despise about our broken world today, God began a journey. He began it first by calling a man named Abraham. His name actually was Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to make a people out of you. And he begins to invest and prepare and spend time bringing forth what we call prophets, which is what Hebrews says there on the back page of your bulletin. He begins to bring these prophets, and he begins to lay this groundwork of preparation for the day that we're celebrating tonight. I mean, look at the first verse there. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Have you ever thought about the fact that God was on this journey of coming to us through time and space, entering in our world through the person of Jesus Christ, through the womb of the Virgin Mary? But all that went before, all the preparation, all the prophets, all the personalities, all the quirky things of the history of Israel, all meant to set up and prepare for God to come on this incredible journey to us. No wonder the angels are lining up to go and proclaim to these poor shepherds who must have been freaked out, right? Because they look up and see all of this host of angels and this multitude, as it's called. Why? Because they're proclaiming that God's journey is over. His journey to us, to come to us, to find us, to be like us, that he might speak life and hope, that he might be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's been on that journey. And on the night that Christ was born, the journey ended because God was with us. And that's what he had been working for, laying the framework for all that time, moving through time and space to get to you. More arduous than traveling over to Kenya, even more arduous than traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. God had been on a journey. Now, when I got to Kenya, as I said, it was just an amazing time because I was so well received. And I was just, you know, I everywhere I went, I was overwhelmed with how much the people were just glad to know me and for me to know them. And they wanted to express, you know, that their enjoyment of us being there and relationship. And Africans understand relationship in a way that Westerners, we have so much to learn. I guess we'll have heaven to catch up because we have so much to learn about just being and hanging out and relating to people. They taught me so much just in a little bit of time. But imagine if you went on a really long trip and you arrived and the person you went to see wouldn't receive you. Imagine if you traveled long distances this Christmas sometime. You got to Washington, D.C., or you got to Baltimore, Maryland, or you got to, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the person you were going to visit wasn't even home. Or wouldn't, worst of all, was home but wouldn't see you. I kind of feel like the Griswolds in The Family Vacation, right? You know, they travel to Wally World, right? They're going in the whole movie. They're trying to get to Wally World, and Wally World is shut down, right? It's out of order, right, for under repairs. Mary and Joseph move all this way, and they can't find a place. There's no room in the inn, it says. Now, there are two interpretations of this. One is, in fact, what it says, an inn, that there was no, you know, no hotel room, no boarding house, no place for them to stay. The other interpretation is actually a different twist on that word, inn. And instead of meaning sort of like a motel, it really would refer to like a guest room. Now, I know some of you guys have guest rooms in your houses. I've got too many kids. We don't have any guest room. But most folks have a guest room. And if somebody important comes, you put them in the guest room. If that interpretation is right, then not only was there no space, but family, those that are supposed to take us in, didn't have any room for Mary and Joseph. Now, why would God put in his story not only this journey, but this holy couple with the Christ child having no one to receive them? Well, it seems to me that it's because oftentimes that is exactly what happens when God comes to men and women. There is no room in their life for him. There is no place for Christ. And so he gets pushed to the side, laid in a trough, in a feeding trough, unnoticed, except by those who seek him out. I mean, imagine if somebody famous, somebody really important, came to your city, somebody you really would have cared to have seen, and you missed it because you had to wash your hair or whatever. Most of the people that really mattered in my life, I had to go out of the way to actually find them and meet them. And if someone traveled 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles, I'd probably receive them. Perhaps that's why the folks received us so well in Kenya. We had come a really long way. And yet, how many of us, the God of the universe, has journeyed through time and space, and he has come to us, sparing no expense. And as Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he stands at the door and knocks and says, if anyone would come and open the door, I will come in and I will be with that person. And yet how many allow God to journey all the way to the manger, to Bethlehem, and yet don't even take the time to hear him out? Friends, this Christmas Eve, realize that the God of the universe has journeyed far, and he's journeyed there for you. And he longs to enter into whatever pain or confusion or joy or trauma your life might have. And oftentimes before, maybe you, like me, have left him waiting at the door. He's journeyed to see us. He's come to be with us. His journey is over, and now he waits to be received. One of the neatest things about being with those friends in Kenya, Western Kenya, was that when we talked, particularly the last day I got to go even further away from civilization. I didn't think I could go any further. James was with me. We got in a Land Rover again. We traveled maybe 3 or 4 hours way off into the bush. They said, well, if it's muddy roads, we won't even be able to get there. But it wasn't too muddy, and so we got through with the four-wheel drive, and we went down to this place where they said that not many white faces ever been. And we met these folks who are trying to plant churches. They literally meet under trees in these remote areas around Lake Victoria. And we got to be with these folks for a couple hours. And one of the things that was really impressive to me is that what they wanted us to do was to go back and tell our friends back here about them. They wanted to be known. Not famous, not notorious, not have fame, but to be known. Let them know that we're here. Ask them to pray for us. And we'll be praying for them. I mean, at some very deep level inside every human being, we want to be known. And God wants to know each of us. He's journeyed so far. Receive Him. Hear Him out. He comes to bring peace. You enter this world in the frailness of a child. You experience everything it means to be human. He suffered the death of the cross. He came to us. God has journeyed so far. We remember to receive Him in tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.